Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dog Pound, what's up? It's JJ3 here, newest member of the Browns family. I can't tell y'all how excited I am to get to a city that loves their team, loyal fans, great organization, great culture, winning culture, a team that's ready to turn the corner. So I'm going to get to Cleveland, get to work immediately. I'm looking forward to everything. Go Dawgs.
Welcome to the Dawgs Podcast. With your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dawgs Podcast. Big shout out to John Johnson III for doing that intro for us. Now we're just playing. He didn't do that specifically for us.
He did that for the fans, though.
Yeah. Right. You know, already one of my favorite players. Did. Yeah. Already one of my favorite players. If you do want to get an intro on the show or you just some thoughts on the show, drop us a voicemail at www.thedogspodcast.com. Click the link below. Just record into your computer or phone. Leave us some thoughts. Leave us an intro. If you do want to do an intro, just say your name and where you're from, and we'll get it on the show. Browns had a busy week in free agency, but before we get into that, I have to remind you to check us out on Facebook. Please share the video, Instagram, and Twitter. Please subscribe on YouTube as well as tap that notification bell so you know when we upload new videos. If you prefer to just listen to our show, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google. Drop us a 5-star review. Maybe leave us a written review. We like to hear that kind of stuff. And then lastly, we'd like to give a big shout out to Manscaped for sponsoring today's show.
What's up, Browns fans? Even though it's the offseason, our Cleveland Browns are always looking to make improvements. Case in point, last season with the addition of Jack Conklin to the O-line to protect Baker from pressure. Baker doesn't have to worry about pressure anymore, but I'm sure he cares about a different kind of sack these days. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming to your privates. Don't worry about nicks and cuts. Don't worry about tripping over cords. These products are designed to enhance your grooming needs. I'm sure Blake has an incredible stat about shaving your first lieutenant.
Yeah, 85% of partners prefer a man who is groomed below the waist.
I didn't know we were going there.
Groom below the waist.
Awesome. Okay, so go ahead and pick up that Lawnmower 3.0 or the Perfect Package 3.0 and use the promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 20% off your order and free shipping. Your balls and your significant other will thank you. Order your Perfect Package today, 3.0, and flaunt your Nick Chubb. For the record, Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb did not endorse this. Just throwing that out there, but I'm probably sure they would have if I would have reached out to them. So,
right.
I completely agree. They're fans of the show.
Absolutely.
I think we've proven that in the past, that Baker is definitely a listener.
I wrote that at 4 a.m. this morning, guys.
Very nice.
Free agency signings.
So he's worried about a different kind of sack these days, huh?
That's right. Right. That's right.
Well, as you heard, we're going to talk about some free agency signings. We heard at the top of the show from, you know, probably the biggest splash move the Browns have made so far this offseason, John Johnson III. Browns have had a super busy free agency so far. By all accounts, it's been a home run. And I think the biggest signing of that class is easily John Johnson, safety from the Rams. Was seen by most teams as the top safety on the free agent market this year. All around stud. And I love, he's already one of my favorite Browns players.
I agree. Like, jersey and take my money already. If they had already had, I literally checked NFL shop just to see if they would just put out that jersey already. Obviously, they're going to wait for the, whether it's going to be the throwbacks or the 75s. We'll see what happens. But this guy's a leader.
Yeah, I like what I've been reading about him and just the fact that he said that coming to Cleveland was a no-brainer for him. Now, I mean, how many top free agent defensive players would have said that in years past?
He took less money.
That's the thing I wanted to talk about. This, I've talked about in the past, however, if the Browns wanted to attract good free agents, we would probably have to overpay them because, you know, who wants to come to Cleveland other than for a big fat paycheck? And now we got guys saying it's an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
They're willing to take less money. They couldn't see themselves on going anywhere else. I mean, talk about a complete 180 in culture shift from even 2 years ago.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew Berry.
Andrew Berry. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, so he was a 2017 draft pick, third round. In three of his four seasons, he played all 16 games for the Rams. That's a plus, you know, we're dealing with in Cleveland right now. You know, having that stability is something that we've been, you know, really wanting, and not just from, like, veteran players. You know, you're getting this guy. He's still young. You know, he's young.
25.
Led their team in tackles last year at the safety position. Once it came out that he was going to be a free agent, and he was one of the top guys out there in the secondary field to go out and get. And I love the fact that he was the play caller too. I love the fact that he was the play caller, because last year we were kind of questioning, you know, who was going to step up into that role after, you know, Schobert had gone. He was the guy who did that for a number of years. So getting this guy in who's smart enough, that understands the game. I mean, he played on the top defense last year.
That's what I was going to say. It's not like he, you know, was a stat stuffer playing on a bad defense. You know, somebody had to make the tackles. This dude played on a defense with Jalen Ramsey, Chora Hill, Aaron Donald.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. You know, and he was one of the best defensive players on that team, on a team that had the best defense in the league.
Right.
I mean, talk about a steal and a home run by Andrew Berry. I mean,
oh, yeah. I was looking at it. It said the Pro Football Focus had him rated as the number three safety last year in the NFL with an 85.3 grade, and he was number four in run defense.
So Nate Zegura dropped a crazy, crazy stat, too. In his entire career, the guy's only got two penalty flags against him.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a stat.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I literally was watching, and I was just like,
what?
I've seen back-to-back plays from the same guy. Yeah.
When we first signed him, everything you heard was he's one of the top coverage safeties in the league. And then all of a sudden, then you start hearing, like, well, he also led them in tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I feel like the Browns secondary this past season was, and you know, just defense in general, full of people who were very suspect at tackling at times, you know, like not
and
just
covering,
look at you putting it nicely.
Yeah. Not great at tackling. And this dude comes in, he had 105 tackles last year from the safety position.
Right. And then, like how we said, you know, he's played all 16 games, three of the four seasons. He's one of the four NFL safeties to play 100% of his team's defensive snaps last year. So, you know, that's a huge upgrade for us. He had an 85.3 grade on Pro Football Focus, which ranked him third amongst all safeties in the NFL. Interesting kind of quote about him that I saw from former Pro Bowl cornerback Aqib Talib, said he's one of the best tackling guys I've ever played with, period.
Aqib Talib.
Regarding of position, just period. He's one of the best tackling guys I've ever played with. And he's played with a few. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited about this pickup.
And you know, we've just been talking about him, you know, individually as the player. We haven't even talked about just the fact that the boost he's going to give to the Browns defense by what we can do now with him, a healthy Delpit, you know, knock on wood, and Ronnie Harrison's a stud.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
So there's, I mean, Joe Woods wants to play that three safety, you know, defense. And
I actually wrote that down. He said he wants to play big nickel, which is 5 DBs, and dime, which is 6 DBs, and both utilize 3 safeties on the field at once.
Yeah, and they got to be able to tackle.
Yes.
You know, because if you're doing that, you're going to have
fewer linebackers.
Yep, you're going to have fewer linebackers. Possibly, you know, you're only going to play with maybe 3 down linemen. There's going to be less beef on the field, so your safety's got to be able to tackle. And all three of those guys have Pro Bowl ability.
I don't know, like, how you guys feel about this, but, like, for me, free agency is like, man, we have a big issue on our team. Let's go fix that, right? Who's the biggest issue on our team from last year on the defense? Anderson Sendejo. So,
yeah, and Andrew Sendejo.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I've been up all night, too. But for real, what an improvement. You literally go get the guy that, I mean, a lot of teams wanted. Some of the offers that were getting thrown his way, $3-4 million, then on top of what we ended up signing him for. It's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
I was just saying, let's just say real quick, it's a 3-year deal, $33.75 million deal. And just so everybody kind of gets a visual, he's 6'2", 10, And like I said, he's 25 years old.
Right.
So
he's literally in the, he's entering he's his prime.
Exactly. He's coming right into that prime. Yeah. So as good as he's been already as a rookie and on his rookie deal, we haven't seen the best of him yet.
No, and I think I saw a thing on, I think it was Darryl Reuter on Twitter or something. He said, you're seeing a trend with Andrew Berry's philosophy in free agency in the last, you know, two years now. It's guys who were highly productive going into their second deal. So, you know, we're not overpaying for old guys and we're not throwing tons of money at unproven people. We're identifying needs and then we're identifying players that we've seen be productive in that role and then we're getting them for good value.
You look at some of the, and we can talk later maybe about some of the edge rushers that we didn't sign or maybe didn't even really pursue that much, and you see what they did go for or where they signed and what they spent for them. We weren't going to do that.
No,
you can just tell. You can look at the numbers and say, Browns weren't going to do that.
I think the fact that we haven't addressed edge rusher, other than Tack McKinley, but you know we haven't addressed premier edge rusher tells me that that's what we're taking in the draft. That's what that tells me. And we're going to try to get a premier edge rusher for, you know, on a rookie salary. Because, you know, as Zach was talking before the show, 2 years from now, we got a lot of people we got to pay.
Yeah.
So you can't go sign Bud Dupree for, you know, what did he get, like 10, 12 million a year or something crazy?
Something like that.
I can look it up.
So we can't do that because, you know, we have other guys we got to pay. So Andrew Berry's just, it's almost like he's playing checkers or chess while everybody else is playing checkers.
Yeah, you know, and a big thing going into this year, I think this is kind of a prove-it year for our defensive coordinator, Joe Woods. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of people that wanted him gone. At the end of the year, they blamed a lot of our losses and struggles on our defensive side, which, you know, fair to say, you know, that's where we struggle. Offensively, we did great. That's what won us games, not our defense. But, you know, kind of looking at it now and sitting back and like, okay, we're bringing some of these guys in. Let's see what he can kind of do with, you know, bringing in his own talent rather than just being like, hey, you're going to coach this team with Andrew Sandejo your safety.
We're going to put all the effort into the offense and we're going to ask you to polish this turd over here. And you better, it better be good.
Yeah. Right. So I think that, you know, I mean, I was one of his critics, you know, at the end of the year too. So I'm interested to see what he can do with, and we're going to dive into some of these other players that we brought in. Now you're kind of starting to see we're getting some playmakers on that side of the ball.
Yeah. I was real quick back to Bud Dupree's roughly 15, 16 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
a lot.
That's expensive.
Yeah, we weren't going to do that.
No, absolutely not.
Not when we paid Myles Garrett all that money on the other side.
Yep. Yeah. So, but home run by Andrew Berry. And like you said, we're giving Joe Woods the tools and the players that fit the system that he was brought in to run. And now it's his time to prove, okay, I am the guy to do this job. Because there's no, as long as all these guys are healthy, you know, again, knock on wood, he's got no excuses for the defense right now.
No, and I'm sorry if this is repeating anything you guys said while I was looking up that stat there, but one thing I did see, too, that I really liked about JJ3 is he plays both strong safety and free safety. So running those three safety sets, I mean, if you got a guy that, you know, say an injury happens or your guy needs a spell in a game, move him back to free, move him up to, you know, strong, it doesn't matter. He's versatile.
I think you could make the argument going into this offseason that between safety and the cornerback position, those were our two weakest areas.
Oh, yeah. Our defensive backfield was terrible. Horrendous last year.
Yeah. And, I mean, just on paper, when you're looking at the rosters now, you can go, if health, you know, plays out right, man, we're very young, we're very explosive, and it's not like, oh, hey, we can't play man coverage or anything anymore. Like, these guys can cover some people.
Yeah, and, you know, we're going to get into the other guys that we signed. You know, this guy has the ability to be a Pro Bowler. We signed a lot of guys then after this. You know, I kept waiting, when's that second big splash signing coming? Uh-huh. And we never signed that guy that made me go, oh, crap, I can't believe we just got that guy. But you can't have Pro Bowlers at every single position.
Right.
You know, you got to have your studs, a couple of your studs on both sides of the ball, and then you got to have really solid role players. And I think that's what the Browns have done. And I'll kind of transition to that into the next guy we signed, another Rams player. We went out and bolstered the secondary some more with cornerback Troy Hill. This guy, he's what I would call, he's just like a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. Three touchdowns last year. He had three picks. He returned two of them for touchdowns, forced a fumble, returned it for a touchdown. I think I saw he's one of only a handful of defensive players last year that had three touchdowns.
I mean, to get one touchdown is difficult. It just doesn't happen that much. So it's a pretty impressive stat.
Yeah. My biggest thing with him, and we were talking about the contract. The contract's great.
So new details came out about the contract. Originally, I think it was reported as like, what was it, a 4-year, $28 million deal or something like that?
I saw six a year.
It's a 2-year deal. The last 2 years are voidable at the end of the contract. So it's a total of $9 million with a chance to bump up to 10. So basically, they said there's $4 million guaranteed at signing. So he's going to make about $4.5 million a year for the next 2 years.
Yep.
That is very good bargain money for somebody who has been touted as one of the better slot corners in the NFL.
Great value. And look at our position group there. We have Greedy I know he's cleared, but are you guys confident that he's going to be okay next year? I don't know.
Zero confidence.
Denzel, obviously, like, he's a stud, but he misses some games every year, you know. It's just kind of his track record, and it's nothing against him. I mean, the guy lays the wood of every play, so.
We definitely need corner help, because especially with Money Mitch is gone.
Yep.
So who are the, you know, Kevin Johnson's gone.
Yep.
So we got Denzel, you got Greedy. I don't know if I can tell you another corner on the roster.
We saw MJ Stewart.
MJ, you know what I mean? So we definitely need corner help. Again, I think we go corner in the draft at some point.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
But if you look at what teams are doing these days, so your slot guys used to be your Wes Welkers. You know, these small little nifty route runners, you know. If you look now, though, teams are putting – Mike Evans goes to the slot. You know, Odell plays in the slot. You know, they're putting their best – they're moving their best receivers.
They do a lot of those move tight ends into the slot.
Yeah, they're putting their best playmakers in the slot, because typically if you're in the slot, you either got a safety or a linebacker trying to cover them. And, you know, so put a linebacker – on Odell and see what happens. Look at Alabama in the national championship game against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. When they put Smith, they just kept putting him in the slot, and Ohio State's got Pete Warner chasing him down the field. Feasting. You know what I mean? So to get a slot corner that can cover people, you got to have a good slot corner these days, because you're not just going up against, you know, these small little nifty route runners. You're going up against explosive playmakers in that slot position now.
Yep. Yep. So Troy Hill is 30 years old, 5'11", 183. And like I said, for a 2-year deal for a 30-year-old cornerback, I mean, whenever I originally saw the 4-year deal, I'm like, what are they doing signing a 4-year deal? This guy's older. But okay, so the contract is actually pretty good for him. And I mean, we got an experienced, reliable, you know, talented slot cornerback at a very reasonable price.
The guy's been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's played on... The Rams defense was like the best defense in the league this past season, and the year they went to the Super Bowl, it was an amazing defense.
Well, now we pair him with John Johnson.
Yep.
Who played together for years. So I think this is just great.
No, it's another A-plus move by Andrew Berry. I think, and it's almost, I don't want to say the Browns are moving under the radar, but you got like the Patriots out there signing literally every tight end that's available.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You got these people spending big money on guys. And then the Browns are just kind of flying under the radar with these super smart, good for the team deals that fill huge positions in need. And we're sneaky good on defense right now.
Like Justin said, on paper with full health. Yes, we are. We absolutely are. I love it.
There's still holes to fill. Don't get me wrong. We still got to fill in some depth. I still want an edge rusher. I still want another corner. But as we sit today, we are so much better on defense than we were this past season.
Yeah, so one knock on Troy Hill that I was reading, they say he's not a great tackler. So in 2020, this past season, he made 77 tackles, but he got charged with 18 missed tackles.
Mac Wilson had that in a game.
but kind of like what we're talking about with the slot corner, it's a lot more of the coverage aspect of things rather than, I mean, you got to be able to make tackles. And he did. He also missed some. But if you can cover, if you can cover well, then you don't need to tackle the guy.
I mean, we're going to have three safeties on the field that – should be good tacklers.
Yeah.
You know, Delpe, I know in 2019 struggled a little bit, but in 2018, dude, the guy can tackle when he doesn't have not playing on a broken ankle. Ronnie Harrison's all over the field, and we already talked about John Johnson led the team in tackles. So, you know, everybody's going to have strengths and weaknesses. We need this guy's strength to cover. I mean, Cincinnati's got good receiving core. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's definitely on the downs.
They still got some receivers.
They got receivers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and then no receiver wants to go play for the Ravens. So.
No.
But, you know.
He turned him down.
Yeah. So.
So there was, okay, so real quick, one other thing, and I don't think it's a major concern at all, but they said he was suspended early in his career for violating the substance abuse policy. I didn't dig into that to see what it was, if it was, you know, and that.
If I had to guess, it was probably pot.
Yeah.
Which they don't even test for.
Either that or it was some sort of performance enhancer that, oops, I didn't realize it was going to show up. Whatever it might have been.
Or performance enhancing and pot. Who, you know?
either way, nothing.
He was young. He was young.
He's had nothing since then.
Yeah.
So he's just been nothing but a competent, reliable, talented slot cornerback. And he's originally from Youngstown.
That's awesome.
They said he reps a 330 tattoo. So, Troy Hill, welcome home.
Yeah.
Right.
We're glad
happy
to have you,
man.
Yeah.
Come on the show. Yeah. We'll talk about that pot suspension. But so that, you know, that's the two players from the Rams we signed addressing the secondary. Another big guy we signed from, you know, who I could see as being an AFC rival. They're a rival of the show, the Colts.
Yes.
You know, we know Zach, you know, Colts fans hate Zach.
Right.
You know, but we go and we sign middle linebacker Anthony Walker from the Colts, and Darius Leonard's going to have an aneurysm.
All of his teammates.
You know,
all of his teammates were.
Yeah, this guy's just got to be, everything you hear about him, great locker room guy, yep. You know, all kinds of his teammates saying, you'll never understand the effect that guy has just on somebody else. So, I mean, great tackler. We just talked about, you know, that was a big thing that we were missing last year. We get to bring this guy in, and he just fills a void at the linebacker position that we were missing all year long.
Yeah. I also like last year played 16 games, year before played 16 games, mm-hmm. year before played 15 games.
Yeah.
The dude plays almost every single game.
Yep. And pretty much 100, over 100, like obviously he was in 92 tackles last year, but over 100 for –
Yeah, 105 in 2018, 124 in 2019, 92 last year. The dude's a tackling machine.
I got the total of 343 tackles, 19 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, and 3 picks in his starting years, 3 starting years.
Been nice to have that last year.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, what's really nice about this free agent signing is we at least know that we have a good linebacker going into the season, where last year we were like, well, I don't know who we're going to play at linebacker.
Hopefully Mac Wilson's the guy who steps up this year. Or Sione Takitaki is going to be the guy who really steps up for us. No, this guy, we have a competent, legit NFL quality starting linebacker day one training camp.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the interesting things I saw about his season last year, in the game that the Browns played against the Colts, he was actually the linebacker that picked off Baker.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I was going to say, you guys mentioned about Darius Leonard. He said that Cleveland is gaining a dog, and that is D-A-W-G, dog, yes. Which we like on the show.
Right? Thanks for the shout-out, Darius.
Yeah, that's right.
He must be a listener, too. Maybe that was him on YouTube.
Ghost account.
Yeah. Calling out Zach.
Frank Reich, head coach for the Colts, who, you know, he's widely respected around the league. I think he's a really good head coach, and he said that Walker is super intelligent, and then if he decides ever in his future to pursue a coaching career, and he was like, this guy is an NFL-made head coach. He said he will be an NFL head coach. So that tells me that this guy is pretty damn smart. You know what I mean? And Stefanski even said, quote, he can be a quarterback for the defense out there, really intelligent, heady player. So, I mean, these are two really good head coaches touting this guy as a leader and a smart leader on the field.
And we talked about this before, you know, free agency started. We said this team needs to infuse some veteran leadership into these important roles.
Yeah.
And these first three guys we've talked about are all considered, you know, John Johnson called plays for the defense on the Rams. This guy, you know, best player on the Colts is, you know, throwing a fit about him leaving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just they're leaders. They're not just really good football players, but they're the kind of guys that can show a young locker room what it takes to get to that next level, the kind of work you have to put in to go from a good football team to a great football team.
That's what I really like about – I mean, I like the Troy Hill signing. Oh, and by the way, his suspension was for a DUI. Okay. So no pot. He just a little too much to drink, whatever. You know, no big deal. It happens to everybody here and there.
Who hasn't had one of those? I do not have one of those.
Yeah, neither do I. So, one of the things I like is he's not your, a coverage linebacker, that type of a skill set. He's a run stuffer and that's what I really want to see at that linebacker position with it. What we're going to throw out there on defense this year, we need some guy who's just going to be able to go up there, fill the hole, and make a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Not this, the running back gets 5 yards downfield before a linebacker, gets to him. And, we were kind of same thing with the Joe Woods, scheme last year, who he had to, throw out there and who he had to roll with. Interesting to see what he can do with this guy.
And, Barry talked about it on our show last week with the defensive scheme the Browns are, they're going to want to run this year. We might only have one linebacker on the field.
Yeah.
If we're running three safeties, you need that linebacker to be able to stop the run.
Well,
so his coverage, would it be great if he was an elite coverage guy and a crazy good run blocker? Yeah. Okay, cool. That'd be awesome.
We'd already have to pay him like $50 million a year, though.
Yeah, but if he's my only linebacker on the field and then standing next to him is going to be a safety, the safety can cover the people.
Right.
You know what I mean? We need somebody who can help stuff the run because the run defense on paper, I think last year wasn't as bad as what it was because people could just throw all over us. But if you watch Browns games, you knew it was whatever teams wanted to do, they could do.
Yeah.
It turns out it's quicker and easier just to throw for touchdowns than it is to run for them.
Yeah. With the growth and development of Jacob Phillips behind this guy, and then we brought back Malcolm Smith.
Yep.
So you've got those guys. And then, like you said, with Taki Taki, and if Mac Wilson kind of get out of his deal and start living up to the potential that he has, all of a sudden the linebacking core, whenever you're prioritizing your defensive backfield and your defensive line, now that linebacking core doesn't look so bad.
No, and, Darius Leonard said you don't know what kind of impact a guy like Anthony Walker can have on that locker room.
Uh-huh.
So this guy could have a huge impact in Mac Wilson and Taki Taki's development as players.
Yeah. Well, what was his name? Kellen Moore? Was that the cornerback for the Colts, I think is his name? He said the same thing about the impact that Anthony Walker made on him as a player.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that is... Those aren't stats that you can pull out. You know what I mean?
From those are intangibles.
Focus. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Those are intangibles. That's why, analytics are important, but also things like coachability, being a good locker room person, those things are also super important.
Yeah.
And if this guy can get the best out of Taki Taki and Mac Wilson, that sets up our future now.
Absolutely. Because, it does.
A couple years down the road, we got to pay some people. So if we can get these young linebackers we have on the roster now to be good, then we can focus money other places to pay some of these people. That's huge.
Well, not only that, but think about what linebacker we might draft in the third or fourth round that has good potential that comes in here, and now all of a sudden he's learning how to play and be a pro from Anthony Walker, who's still, he's 25 years old. He's a young guy. He's coming off his rookie deal too, but
another guy going into their second contract.
Yes. Yep. Which, so did we talk about the contract? So 1 year, $3.5 million that we signed him to. So to me, that kind of says it's like a prove it contract.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this guy's got the capability to definitely prove it.
Yep.
I agree. I see him having a huge impact. Even if we only have him for this year, it almost, you got the sense like we're going to feel his impact for the next five. What I mean? So again, another home run by Andrew Berry.
Yeah, yep. I definitely agreed. Think so.
Another home run. And then we had one more defensive signing, a guy that, to be honest, I didn't even really know who he was. Two more defensive signings. I'm sorry. We had one late yesterday. But Tack McKinley, DN from the Raiders, previously he was drafted, I think, first round by the Falcons.
Pick 26 in 2017.
So that, I know he's kind of bounced around, but if you were picked in the first round, there's first-round talent there somewhere. Somebody evaluated you high enough to take you in the first round. There's something there. So now it's just on this coaching staff to get it out of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, his first 2 years in the NFL, he had, he was showing why he was a first-round pick. He's appeared in 49 games total, has 17.5 sacks, 79 tackles, 22 of those for a loss, and 45 QB hits. He's a 6'2", 265. He's only 25. And, his reason he went in the first round, he ran a 4.59 40, and you know, coming into the draft last year, if it, that would have been last year, he'd have been the fastest guy in the draft at that position. So he's just a big sprinter off the edge, you know, to get after the quarterback.
Something to go along with that 40 time too, and all those numbers, like they said that his transition from speed into power,
yes,
is good.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, that's what you need out of your edge, yes, rushers.
100%. And, you know, in a league that tends, you're getting these more mobile quarterbacks, the pockets are moving, you got to have some guys out there that are quick enough to run somebody down from behind, or at least make them feel the pressure that they got to get rid of the ball. Otherwise, they're going to dance around, and your cornerbacks don't stand a chance that they got to play coverage for 10 seconds.
Yeah, look at the quarterbacks just in our division. Joe Burrow is way more athletic than
anybody wants to give him credit
for. Yeah, that dude is, he can move.
Yes.
Yep. You know, and obviously Lamar Jackson is the most athletic quarterback in the league.
Right.
So, you know, obviously the Steelers, it's like
he was like a couple of years ago, he was very hard to tackle.
He's basically like a tackling dummy back there now.
Right. But he's gonna get the bag.
Yeah, you know, you're gonna have to face Lamar Jackson twice a year, and you gotta face Joe Burrow twice a year. Those are guys that can move around. They can manipulate the pocket, and Lamar Jackson has proven he literally doesn't have to be good at throwing to still be the MVP of the league.
Right, and kind of we've touched on it, you know, some of the schemes, Joe Woods, you know, having multiple defensive backs, having multiple safeties. I'm hoping that we kind of see some more blitzing happening, you know, and a guy like this that's fast off the edge, I mean, he's just going to have, you know, depending on, he can play both sides of the ball, you know, or he can play the right side, left side. That tackle's got to, you know, he's got to be perfect. Otherwise, this guy is going to get by him. And then now you got to think, oh, now I got this safety or this cornerback that's blitzing as well. So I think that this is a very strategic pickup. They got him not very, it wasn't that expensive. They get a, you know, a talented ex first round pick, you know, for a DN. Just hoping that it works out, because it kind of seems like his last 2 years, he's kind of been like, almost, do I even want to be in the NFL anymore? And that's what he kind of said in one of his press conferences was, I got to show that I still want to play this game.
His press conference impressed me, because you sent the one video of him when he was on the Falcons.
Yeah.
And it was not an impressive interview.
Right.
But then it almost seems like he's grown up, you know, a little bit, and, you know, he showed up, suited up, and he just said things like, you know, if I want to be in the NFL, I got to show that I want to be in the NFL. I got, you know, I got to prove it. I got to go out there and I got to put the work in. And this is the kind of player that you put on a defense like the Browns have now with these veteran leadership, you know, Miles, Anthony Walker, John Johnson. And then he can flourish, you know, because he, you know, he's got some leadership around him, showing him how to prepare, show him what it takes. And, you know, he doesn't have to be, you know, the guy. He was taken in the first round. The Falcons expected him to be their Myles Garrett.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't have to do that now because we have Myles Garrett.
Right.
I don't think Andrew Berry signed him either to be that every down guy across from
Miles. No, this is a Claiborne replacement.
Yep.
It's a Claiborne replacement with serious upside. If this guy grows into that potential that he was drafted to be, I mean, holy crap, did we ever get a deal here?
Mm-hmm. You know? He's played in 49 games. He's got 45 QB hits. So at least once a game, he's getting to the quarterback. He's pressuring the quarterback.
8 sacks in his rookie year, counting the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, they said he only had 2 sacks in his last 27 games, and he only played 4 games last year. So
before last year, though, he played 16, 15, and 14.
Yeah. He bounced around a lot last year. One of the biggest things that, you know, they've had their eye on this guy for a while, they've tried to claim him 3 different times off waivers last season. Okay, they tried to, Atlanta decided, I think they picked up his option, then they waived him after a few games, and then it was 49ers were next up. They tried to pick him up, then Cincinnati went and they picked him up, and then the Raiders picked him up. But every single time he went on waivers, the Browns were trying to get this guy.
And I think he said that we tried to trade for him.
Yeah, so I think, yes.
Well, that's interesting, because Andrew Berry also said that Tack McKinley was in consideration with the 12th pick in that 2017 draft the Browns had. That we traded to Houston and they took Deshaun Watson, but we were kicking the tires on drafting McKinley then.
Well, that sounds about right.
So to me, this seems like a guy, especially the way he came in and he had that good rookie season. It almost seems to me it's more mental than physical.
It is.
It's clearly more mental.
I read an article from his, you know, something he said that he has dealt with some mental health issues over the last, you know, few years, and he's just been trying to deal with some struggles and things, which I'm telling you guys, when you're coming into the NFL as a 21-year-old and you're getting drafted in the first round and you were the best player on your high school team and you were the best player on your college team, you think the world is yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I shouldn't say everybody, but I can see where that can happen. Then all of a sudden you get into the league and it's like, whoa.
It's not easy.
A little bit bigger than I thought it was.
These guys are all real good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you can quantify how much pressure there is to be a first round pick. Yes, it's great. Yeah, I was picked in the first round. I'm going to get a big signing bonus, make a ton of money. But there is so much more expected of you if you're taken in that first round.
So that's what I like about this. You bring him in, and now he can sit there. He's 25 as well. So he can sit there, and he can kind of talk to Anthony Walker, John Johnson. Baker Mayfield is the number one overall pick. Miles Garrett was the number one overall pick. Let's talk to you about pressure that we've all dealt with and how we're overcoming this to be successful.
Now, this Sheldon Richardson, he's still on this team, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's a veteran D lineman, you know, that can help guide this guy.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Guy we talk about.
Yeah, get this guy right. You get this guy mentally right. And, you know,
he could be a sky's the limit. I mean, I know that we said we don't think that we brought him in to be an every down guy, but I could very well see this flourishing into a position where we're like, man, we're wondering why he's not on the field at
like, time. Yeah, or how did we get this guy?
Yeah.
A very high reward, low risk for the Browns. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Coach said, skilled young player with tremendous upside.
It's on him to turn that upside into productivity.
Production. Well, and what Stefanski was able to do with his team last year, virtually, without being in person with his team and getting everybody to buy into this and being a playoff team and winning a playoff game after all these years of suckage, I tell you what, if someone's going to turn around Tack McKinley's career, it's here in Cleveland. Because these guys, we've obviously wanted him for a while.
Yep. And that is another thing I think that people don't think. It's nice to be wanted.
He said that.
You know what I mean? So it's when you're getting tossed around, you know, the Falcons, obviously the Falcons gave up on him, you know, probably his fault, you know, mentally wasn't there, but then he starts getting tossed around from team. And he's like, you know, is this even worth it? So just the feeling of this team wanted me already, he's buying in.
Yeah. That's huge. I mean, you're right, Blake. I think that makes a huge impact on the psyche of a player is to be wanted. It makes a big impact on any human being. I mean, really, when you're working somewhere and you're like, wow, these people actually want me here.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
And then the Browns, you know, late yesterday did have, one more late signing I threw on here. Signed Malik Jackson.
I didn't even know this was in the running.
A D tackle.
Yeah.
A veteran guy. He's been in the league since 2012, so a rare instance in which the Browns go out and get somebody a little elderly. But
he's 31. Did you say that?
I did not.
31, yep.
So, I mean, and when I say elder, I'm 31.
I know, so am I.
You know what I mean?
Don't ask me.
So, you know, it's not like we didn't sign.
Football terms, you old.
Yeah, he's not 40, though. I mean, we saw if you take care of your body, you can play. But, and this guy... He's played for Denver, Jacksonville, and then Philly. And everywhere he's been productive. He's been a good teammate. He's an all-around solid depth player.
I think anybody who's a fan of the NFL, even a casual fan, has got to at least recognize the name Malik Jackson.
I mean, right.
He's a playmaker.
Yeah, now obviously he was, back days where he played for the Broncos and played for Jacksonville, he was really good.
Yep.
I mean, he made the Pro Bowl in 2017. One thing that I kind of like to see is a familiar face. You know, he's played under Joe Woods before when Joe Woods was in Denver. I think that this guy is just sliding in. You know, we lost Ogunjobi, free agency. He actually stayed in the division. I think he went to Cincinnati.
Yeah,
he did.
So I think this is kind of a piece to help replace that. A good, rotational piece for the interior D-line, I think, is where this pick, because we got Sheldon Richardson, and I think it kind of says a little bit that maybe picking this guy up front office wasn't too impressed with what Jordan Elliott did last year, as being a third-round pick, kind of inconsistent at times. So, yeah.
And Andrew Billings is going to come back from – he opted out last year. So,
which I think is kind of like a secret thing that people have forgotten. That guy's supposed to be pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I did read this morning that he's primarily interior defensive line, but he can play outside if he needs to. So I don't know, man. With Tack McKinley, see what we do in the draft. Maybe that other pass rusher on the edge is just going to kind of be a rotational. Let's get guys in there to offset what Miles is doing.
You got Gustin, too. Porter Gustin's going to be back next year.
And yeah. We're going to talk about the draft, you know, in coming episodes, but I think that 26 pick, to me, is it's going edge rusher or it's going corner. To me, that's the only two options.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like this pickup. I think it gives us some depth on our defensive line that I think that Sheldon Richardson can't be an every down guy anymore. He's getting up there.
I know you said you wanted to blitz, but I think in a perfect world, the Browns should want to never have to blitz.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. You know what I mean? Agree with that. So I just felt
last year, yes, we should have blitzed the house because we were giving up 30-yard pass plays every time anyways.
Yeah.
But in a perfect world, if we can get pressure with just four down linemen and have seven drop every play, I mean, that's what the defenses that are very good, they pressure the quarterback without having to blitz. Yep. You can get pressure with three or four guys, you're going to be an elite defense. So just to keep adding good pass rushers, good D linemen to the team, you can't have enough of them.
And if your corners and your safeties can cover... The quarterback eventually, you know, he's going to go through his reads. If there's nothing there, then Myles Garrett's getting home.
Right.
As far somebody's as getting home.
Pass rush grade, PFF had him at 72.8, which since 2018, which is 19th in the league. So we've got a top 20 defensive lineman here.
Yeah.
In pass rushing. So.
So another good pickup. Another
hats
good
off.
Pickup.
Hats off, guys. This is a. And one trend that I like to that I'm seeing here is a lot of these guys are signed to these 1 year deals or, you know, two or whatever, but they're all in like the $4 million range mm-hmm. per year mm-hmm. for players that could make some serious impact on our defense. I don't know. I'm very impressed with what the Browns have done so far in free agency.
Oh, 100%. To me, even Colin Cowherd said the Browns are one of the best teams in free agency this year. And that guy doesn't give compliments to Cleveland on anything. So
no, he likes Jimmy G better than Baker.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold. obviously, the Browns did sign a few more people and stuff like that, but we just want to focus on like the big ones. I do want to focus on a couple free agent signings we signed that were already in house. You know, some guys that we're bringing back. Obviously, the biggest one, we re-signed Rashard Higgins.
Yeah,
we had talked at length about what to do. We talked with Barry last week about. Should we? Could we? Can it work?
I don't know. I think it just depends. Obviously, Odell's going to be out for some games.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, what, a month? I don't know. I'm not a doctor or anything. I'm not a physician, so I don't know. But so I think that helps there. I think they're going to run a lot of two wide receivers, more tight ends on the field than anything. So I like it. I know he's comfortable with Baker. I'm not like blown away though. Like I'm happy he's back with Cleveland, but I don't think the market was there. And that's why.
So two things tell me this. One, I think it was important we re-signed him because of Odell's going to miss probably the first month at least. And I don't want, you know, as impressed as we were with Peoples Jones, I don't want to be running.
He's a second year guy.
Yeah. I don't want to be running my, you know, him and Jarvis out there as my two receivers. Mm-hmm. I, you know, much rather have Rashard out there because I'm not trying to start the season with no passing game going 1-4 and we're asking what's wrong with Baker and all this stuff. So to me, that was an important signing. Two, it tells me he played the free agent market out there a little bit. He did not sign right away and then he came back for us. So his market value, like Barry said, was not very big. I don't know if he thought it was going to be very big or if he was just testing it, but I thought some teams like maybe even the Ravens the Packers, you know, I thought something or a team like that who needed like a good complimentary receiver would, you know, throw a little bit of money at him, especially his stats didn't pop off the page, but if you did any kind of scouting, you saw the dude he makes big catches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for Rashard Higgins, I think that he is a very good Cleveland Browns wide receiver. I don't know, like you said, this market probably wasn't there, so I don't know what he is on a different team because it's that Baker-Hollywood connection.
It's like the Terrell Pryor thing.
Yeah.
He had a great season for the Browns, then left.
Never heard from him again.
Nope. He should have stayed a Brown.
I was excited about bringing this guy back because, like Blake said, you know, we're going to be without Dell for a little bit of time, and the relationship he has with Baker – I like having, you know, just that guy that when Odell's down, if somebody else goes down, gets hurt, or we have to have that third guy on the field, you know, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about, you know, you had to brought this new guy in, you're like, ah, you know, they just aren't on the same page. Those two, you know, can throw to each other in the dark. I mean, their connection there. And every time that we see Higgins on the field, we're always asking, like, man, how can we, I mean, this guy's open all the time.
That's exactly, and that's kind of what I was getting at with the Browns wide receiver, because I don't think on any other team can Rashard Higgins step in for a game or a series or whatever and run as your number one receiver.
In
Cleveland, though, he can.
Right, yeah, no, I agree. I think his best fit for him, you know, was in Cleveland.
Absolutely.
I think he kind of knows that, too.
And I don't think I never thought that there was going to be, like, a big market out there for him now on a team. It was kind of going to come down to the fact of, oh, could he go to a D-level team, a number two type of guy and make $4 or $5 million a year because they just had to pay somebody who could catch the ball type of a thing. He could have gotten that kind of contract. But do you really want to play on a team like that when you can come and play for, you know, you've already been here, you know the system, you loved being here.
The fans
why not,
love him.
Yeah, why not stay?
Yep. Also, we talked about, you know, two wide receiver sets, all these linebackers, but by the end of the season last year, we had three wide receivers on the field a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I know some of the tight ends were banged up a little bit here and there, but Cardale Hodge and then People Jones late.
Yes.
We had three receivers on the field a lot of the times.
Yep.
So I think as the offense evolved, as Baker got more comfortable in the offense and Stefanski became more comfortable with Baker in the offense, you definitely saw the playbook open up. So this theory that Rashard Higgins, we signed him and he might not ever get to play, to me, I think especially he's going to start the first month easily. And then I still see him being
involved
way more than he was early this year before Odell went out. Because I think the offense, the playbook is about this thick. And I think those first 5 weeks we were using about this much
of it. The Spark Notes version.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to play an important role for the team. And it's good for the receiver room. They love him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He embodies this Cleveland mentality. You know, we talked about Jarvis being that guy and Baker's adopted it and all these guys. And it's Hollywood, man. He's our dog.
Yep.
He's our dog.
And, you know, Browns fans love him, and he proved it last year when he came back on a cheap deal. And then he just did it again. I'm sure there might not have been huge offers, but I'm sure he had other one-year, you know, $2 million offers or whatever.
Yeah, if he wanted to change the scenery, he easily could have had it.
Yes. So, again, he came back to Cleveland. So, we're really happy to have him. A surprise re-signing for me, JoJo Natson. I thought he'd be gone for sure. The only thing, the first thing I thought when I saw that we re-signed him was, we don't want People's Jones returning punts and kicks anymore.
Right, because now kick returning can go to JoJo Natson and Dearness Whatnot.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that does say something good for DPJ.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, getting this guy, he's coming off an injury, obviously, from last year. I don't think that he's expecting a huge role. You know, it was kind of, you're getting just a home run hitter type of a guy with flashy speed.
He's insanely fast.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see him a lot last year, but the few times we saw him,
yeah,
he's crazy fast.
Well, and if you think about it, we had to keep signing, you know, practice squad defensive backs all year long. We couldn't keep these returning, you know, these specialists and things on the roster on the 53-man because we had to keep, you know, we had guys on injury reserve for, you know, 3 weeks here, 6 weeks there, but we had to keep them, but we had to keep bringing guys up from the practice squad or signing whoever. So I think if we can stay healthy, JoJo Natson stays relevant.
Yep.
Yeah. He is so fast. Yeah, I remember.
Special team signing here. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's that mm-hmm. was just the
to me, like I said, plan. When I saw it, just the first thing I thought was, oh, like I didn't see that coming. Then I just immediately thought, well, DPJ is not going to return punts and kicks anymore. Because
DPJ showed that he's got some serious wide receiver potential.
Yes. And if he continues to ascend like the way we saw him, you know, the last half of last season, you know, the Browns will have some interesting choices a couple years down the road when some of these receiver contracts expire, because do you re-up those guys, or is Peoples Jones ready to step into that role?
You know who Donovan Peoples Jones kind of reminds me of is Michael Gallup in Dallas, because he was, you know, I don't know what round he was drafted in, but he wasn't brought in to be like a number one guy. He was, you know, a supportive role. And then he's shown that he can step in and be a one if they need him, if, you know, Mari Cooper's down or whatever. So I could see Peoples Jones kind of taking that next big step to saying, wow, this guy, when you call on him, he's there.
Yep. And then, so then last re-signing I want to talk about, Browns re-signed Malcolm Smith.
Yep.
Linebacker. And just, this is another, you know, former Super Bowl MVP. He played well for the Browns last year. Just another good locker room guy. And I think we're trying to get a lot of leadership on that defense because, you know, there's a lot of young guys there that need to improve. And so we're just infusing that defense with veteran leadership to help bring those guys along.
How nice is it to sit here and not talk about what quarterback we just signed in free agency or what running back, or hey, we just signed Dwayne Bowe or whatever.
Dwayne Bowe.
Right.
I mean, Kenny Britt.
Come on. Dante Stallworth.
Yes. We threw money at some serious losers. I mean, we really did. And yep. It just never worked out.
They weren't losers until they got to Cleveland.
Right.
Then,
yeah,
they made sure that
they came here to get that last paycheck.
Well, that's what I mean. They were doing okay.
Because they came here and they signed their check and then they checked out.
I mean, if you look at those guys, Dante Stallworth, Dwayne Bowe, who's the Kenny Britt, those were all post-30 guys.
Yes.
And had about 5 catches.
Yeah, we're signing guys going into their prime.
Yep.
Yes.
Coming off their rookie deals.
On defense. We don't even care about offense. That's how good we were last year.
No, I was talking to a friend of mine and I was like, I can't think of a single need, like high priority need on offense. You know, like Barry said last week, we could use, you know, some depth on the O-line and that kind of stuff. But as far as high priority need, I can't think of, and now with the free agency signings, you know, I'd like a corner and I'd like an edge rusher. We got 7 rounds to figure that out. We only, you know, by round 3 or 4, we're literally going to be picking just luxury pieces. Oh, let's see if this guy can make the team.
Sure. Our O-line depth, though, I mean, you think we got Nick Harris from last year. He showed that, you know, he's competent. He can play. Yep. Who did we sign? Chris, we signed.
Well, so we got the Greg Sinat. The only thing with...
Yeah, Greg Sinat.
Or I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. Chris Hubbard is probably going to be hurt. Because he had a knee injury, or I believe like a bad
it was
tear.
A bad one. Yep.
So I think that your depth there is not going to be available to be in here. Kendall Lamb just walked, so I mean I think there are some concerns. I wouldn't say like it's just a lock that the line's going to be great. But, if somebody goes down like they did all year last year,
yeah. But
it's O line depth though, so we can still sign a guy or two. We can draft a high, you know, potential type of player. Just, you know, in the draft, you're always looking for players like, hey, this is a depth pick.
Yeah, and Hans is still there, and he's still there. So, I mean, like, I'm
just thinking, when I look at the offense, there's nothing that jumps off the paper that goes, if we don't sign that, we're screwed. We're not going to do anything. That doesn't exist on this team.
Right. And we're addressing the other side of the ball where there was a lot of glaring issues there.
Well, there might have been one kind of, you could say, on the offensive side of the ball that you weren't so happy with that we picked back up.
A re-signed
kicker, Cody Parkey. You weren't too happy. I know that's special teams, but it's still
he's got to score points
offensively.
So here's the thing about Cody Parkey. he had the Ravens game, which was terrible. But for the most part last year, he made the kicks when we needed him to. But I just don't have any confidence in him. You know, like, and I want to be able to attempt a 50-yard field goal. You know, I don't want my coach.
Nice.
I don't want it to be 4th and 7 from, you know, the 38. And my coach has, well, do I kick the field goal that every other kicker in the league can make? Or do I have to go for it here? Because, you know, I want to be able to just say, okay, let's go get the 3. Or, you know, what if it's late game situation and, you know, we need that field goal from the 38, but Stefanski's got no confidence to send him out there from that distance.
Now, in no way does this show, I mean, obviously you brought him in, you're bringing in a guy that you know that can start for you, right? And Parkey, you know what you're going to get with him. You bring him back in. Now, Barry last week, for anybody that listened to the episode last week, he was really high on that Matt McCrane that we have. You know, just sitting on the practice squad. So I don't know if that means that, hey, we got this competition. Who's going to get the spot, you know, going into the year? But at least you know, kind of based off last season, what you're getting with Parkey is you're getting a reliable kicker from like 45 and in that really didn't do a bad job. I mean, us four in our text group, we were celebrating, like, made an extra point. He's 3 for 3 today on extra points. Yeah. So, he at least gave us that, you know, in a sense that we didn't have to. In years past, we were like, well, hopefully we make this one, so we only have to go for 2 once today, type of a feeling.
I just want somebody that I have confidence in, I guess.
You just want Phil Dawson.
He wants a Matt Green Prater Hunter out there setting records, you know, attempting 63 yards.
What I'm really hoping is that everything's cool this year and we're able to go up to a training camp session.
That'd be awesome. That'd be
sweet. I keep forgetting. Have any of you guys been to training camp before?
You have. I've never been up there. Feet from Greg Little, and he was dropping balls in training camp also.
Dude, that's how I felt about David Njoku.
Oh, hey.
But no, seriously, like, if we go to training camp, I mean, one thing that we will get to see is we're going to see these guys out here kicking. So you'll see Parkey kicking from every angle, every length, and how consistent he can be versus this Matt McCrane, and they'll probably have one or two other. They always trot out
a handful of
kickers out there, so.
Yeah, no. So we didn't have to spend, you know, we didn't have to break the bank to go and get Parkey back either. You know, if we were going to go out and, like, Matt Prater, I think, is still a free agent. We were going to go out and get him or a coup. You were gonna spend, yeah, you know, I think $5 million, $6 million.
So I get that you don't want to spend a ton of money on
Arizona
kicker, especially with, you know, some of the people we're going to have to pay down the road. But with all the talent on offense and all the talent we're putting on defense, I don't want to lose games because of the kicking game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I
that'll
I
get make it. Me want to say words only for our Patreon coming soon. That's
right.
A nice plug.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right. We'll let everybody know. We'll have potentially some announcements coming here in the next show or two. Some exclusive content we're thinking about developing for all of our loyal listeners out there that we are so thankful for.
Yeah. I don't want to lose games with this roster because the kicker can't make a kick because he went 1 for 4 on field goals or extra points. So do I have $5 million to spend? No, but you know, somebody does. Jimmy has an extra $5 million.
He's got that money.
So if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes.
Yeah. And like, I didn't know Prater signed with Arizona. I mean, ever since JJ went there, they've been slowly bringing some more players in.
Tons
there,
of old guys.
We'll see.
AJ Green.
I mean, They have the potential to be good, or they have the potential to be dog crap.
Arizona?
So, yeah.
I'm going to go on the dog crap side.
I think they'll be pretty
competitive.
Good. I think they'll be good. I see them like a 8-9 win team next year. I don't see them winning like 3 games.
They're not making the playoffs. Not out of that division.
That division's tough. That division is.
Be interesting. I'm excited for football.
Me too.
Talking about this today has got, I'm like, okay, when are we playing? When are we playing?
I mean,
it's March.
I came in today's episode. Tack McKinley was not somebody I was super pumped to talk about. And we talked him up so much. I'm like, damn, I can't wait to see Tack McKinley play this year.
Right.
So, but those are, you know, and then one last thing I want to throw in is Njoki's going to be on the team. I know, you know, he was on the roster the day the new year started. So his money's guaranteed. So, we got at least
that 5th-year option.
Yeah, yep. So we got at least one more year of David Njoku. But I think that pretty much wraps up, you know, first week of free agency for the Browns. We'll see if we do anything this week. I don't look for us to be, you know, maybe we throw in some extra depth pieces, but I don't look for us to make any more splash moves. I think we're kind of gearing up for the draft. But we want to thank you for checking out another episode of The Dogs. We're super excited for the Browns free agency class. We can't wait to see how we fill this roster out come draft time. Before we get out of here, remember to check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Please subscribe on YouTube. Hit that notification bell. Lastly, don't forget to head to manscaped.com to get 20% off and free shipping. You have a couple more weeks to pick up your Lawnmower 3.0 or Perfect Package 3.0 with promo code DAWGS, DAWGS. And one more reminder, if you want to get an intro or your thoughts on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Drop us a voicemail or an intro and we'll get it on the show. And we will see you guys all next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.